This is CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. It's Tuesday, the 16th of April. Yeah, I did the weirdest thing the other day. Like, we were talking about the dates, and it's on the clock in front of me here, and I said, for some reason, I said February. Do you remember? What a stupid thing to say.
Yeah, you did say that. It was.
What was that all about?
Very strange.
Your brain like had software malfunction.
Maybe I've got an aneurysm.
Oh, no.
Knock on wood.
Good morning, everybody. What's happening? Yes.
We're halfway through April.
I know, it's madness. I had my car serviced yesterday, so it's running properly, which is so great because you
feel the difference?
Well, yeah, things like they had to replace the brake pads, so that just feels a little better. They were getting grind to a halt. So I must talk to Pig Spotter about that. But I
need new shocks.
What? Yeah, by the way, just you need new shocks? What, for you or for your car?
For both. But
you needed some shock absorbers over the last 5 years of your life.
I always know when I need new ones because of all the potholes that one goes over. And when your you need goes, them, when you need them, it feels like you're driving over, I don't know, mountains. Mm.
This now scares me because I'm probably driving with some car issues, but I wouldn't know.
Don't you take your car for regular service?
Yeah, every...
They would tell you.
Yeah.
Couple of kilometers, I get a reminder from my dad.
As long as you do that, that's not a bad thing. Then you're off to a decent start. But while we're talking about all of this, smart driving in the final episode with Pig Spotter, Cliff Pinto. He'll be popping by with Wynand van Vieren, who is... one of the people who we definitely want to hear from about the most important questions. You know, we've done 3 episodes already of all the stuff that you are probably asking and that you need to ask. And if you want to hear any of those episodes, they're available for you to take a download look at. I want to ask about like a breakdown and what happens there, because this happens to people.
Mm-hmm.
In a quick check on people who are going down to the coast.
Yeah.
Wynand can help us with that stuff too. So we'll find out all about it.
Yeah, it is a long weekend coming up, so people will most likely be traveling now.
And there's the Moria
Polokwane
Festival.
But you know, Pig Spotter gets a lot of these questions on social media, so we'll put them to Wynand, who's from King Price, and we'll find out from Pig Spotter what the most kind of urgent topics are that people are asking on social media and on the internet generally. So, loads of stuff to get into. There's also a bit of blind history for you later on with Joan of Arc. And it's such a relevant episode because I am devastated. Oh, my God. My heart is broken.
Did you only hear now that she died?
No.
Oh.
Notre Dame burnt down. Well, not burnt
down. I know. It's terrible. They say now...
A huge part of the cathedral was damaged last night in a fire. Mm. And the central spire has fallen down and parts of this roof, which are 700 years old, the parts that were burning down. It's just the saddest thing. I get more upset about burning buildings than I do about people, especially when they're old buildings that carry as much history as this does. Notre Dame is in the center of Paris.
It's one of the most iconic buildings.
Mm. And they said that one of the reasons why it was really difficult to put the fire or control the fire was because in some cases dumping water via helicopter onto an old building like that will cause the whole structure to collapse. So
correct.
It was like it stuck between a rock and a hard place, really.
They still haven't announced what the cause of the fire is. They just think it's because of the ongoing renovations there. That something must have sparked it.
Well, I don't even want to think about, the possibility that this could have been done on purpose. I'd rather imagine that it must have been an accident. You know, sort of similar to what happened at Windsor Castle when an electric light was close to a curtain, set the curtain on fire. And, you know, these things happen. But this place draws 13 million visitors a year. I went there and I've actually got a coin from Notre Dame, which I bought. I mean, I'm not Catholic, so for me it wasn't a place of worship, but it is the seat of the Archbishop of Paris. It's named after, Notre Dame means Our Lady, right? So it's a Catholic cathedral. is built on a little island called the Île de la Cité, which is on the Seine River. It's actually one of two little islands there. And construction started in what year? 1163.
Jeez.
So it's a long, long time ago. It was completed in 1345, and it's considered a jewel of medieval Gothic architecture. It was damaged in the 1790s during the French Revolution, which was responsible for so much damage of so many different French artifacts and great buildings. That revolution did just horrendous things to the beauty of France's most magnificent medieval architecture. It's one of the reasons that I hate revolution. It's one of the reasons that I grew up despising all of that stuff. It's not because I'm a monarchist or because I'm a right winger or any of that stuff. The reason I hate revolutions is because they just destroy history. Revolutions come along and they wipe out swathes of our history. And if it isn't revolution, it's fire like this. Mm. I mean, it's just the saddest thing. So, of course, it's well known because of The Hunchback of Notre Dame, right?
Yes.
The book by...
and the Disney film, eventually.
Victor Hugo, yeah. And the building is really, it's very, very old, so it's not always in great condition. And, you know, there are gargoyles that are very worn on the outside of the structure. There's a lot of stone there that has been eaten away over centuries of kind of acid rain.
Just erosion.
Pollution, yeah. And all kinds of other things. But it really is the most beautiful building. It's got these magnificent flying buttresses, which if you're an architect, you'd be interested in. They kind of come out from the building, like almost like spider legs, and then hang over the side to hold up the walls, which are tremendously thin and have these gorgeous stained glass windows in them. So the medieval architects of these kinds of buildings wanted to build something that almost looked like it was standing on nothing, almost like it was... like it was a floating structure that God could live in, you know.
Like an optical illusion.
Yeah, and it was just, it's just the most beautiful place. So, of course, it was also the place where Napoleon Bonaparte was crowned emperor in 1804.
Wow.
And the woman in blind history who we honor today in this episode, because we decided, you know, we were looking at all of these people, and we kind of had a 13-episode view of the blind history season that we've just completed. And we wanted to try and dot around history. So we went all the way back to ancient Egypt and ancient China. We went to very modern history with Mother Teresa. And then we thought, well, the Middle Ages were a fascinating time. And there were a couple of women who were standout in the Middle Ages. And one of them was Joan of Arc. And she was actually beatified as a saint in 1909 in Notre Dame. So it's ironic that we...
How's that?
Yeah, we're talking about that today, and her episode comes up. But it has been burnt previously. There was an earlier church that was destroyed there in the 13th century, and they had to rebuild it in 1230 and then do some extra work in 1240. So it's not as if it hasn't undergone some difficulty in the past. But, of course, this is just devastating because it's right in the middle of Paris. It's such an iconic place. And people are very upset by it because you lose so much when this happens. It's not just stone and stained glass, which you could rebuild technically. Mm-hmm. You know, you could photograph it enough times and map it out. And a lot of these buildings are very well curated. And you can rebuild it. You put new stained glass
in. It just won't be the same.
No, but either. it's also the interior furnishings. Some of the wooden choir stalls and the screens and, you know, some of the stuff is so ancient. I mean, we're talking about people carving things out of wood 500 years before anyone lived in the Cape except the San and the Koi. Anyone, right? We're talking about this being that ancient. Just unbelievable. So apparently the cathedral has been renovated recently, and weather and time had taken a toll on the building. There were broken pieces of statuary, and they were replaced by plastic stuff, and limestone was crumbling to the touch. The renovation was apparently going to cost $180 million, and now, of course, it's going to cost even more to fix. But they will rebuild it. I'm absolutely sure of it. This is, you know, it's part of the skeleton of Paris.
about 4 hours ago, that's when authorities confirmed that the fire was under control.
Oh, thank God.
And
Jesus. It just broke my heart. I was scrolling through Instagram and Facebook this morning.
The images. Mm. Yeah. There were more than 400 firefighters working on this. And as they were leaving the scene, people who had gathered around the church all gave them a round of applause as they were leaving. But already there's so many people who are supporting this, so many people who are moved by this, including a famous French family who own, amongst others, the holding company behind brands like Gucci and Balenciaga and Alexander McQueen.
Is that the Pinot family?
Yes. Yeah. And they're reportedly going to put in 100 million euros, which is around 113 million US dollars to the reconstruction of the cathedral. So,
that's a big lump of cash.
My goodness.
But you know what? This is what's so interesting. I mean, you've got to look at this in a meta sense. What that cathedral represents is almost 1,000 years of Western civilization, right? And a lot of people, including me, believe Western civilization is probably in decline. Like, the best of Western civilization is over. Its contribution to humanity is unsurpassed. There is no other culture in the history of humanity that has made more, created more wealth, created more opportunity, enlightened more people, and I'm talking about particularly the stuff that happened in France in the Enlightenment. I mean, this was an extraordinary movement. It allowed people to think of themselves as individuals for the first time. It allowed them to break free of the chains of religion. France is in so many ways the home of what modern Western thinking. And what a building like that represents is something that just predates that a little bit. So you're going to see these kinds of tragedies pull Western civilization back to its foundations. And in that respect, I don't know that all of the consequences of this fire are going to be a bad thing, because it will show you that there are things in Europe worth saving, that there are things about European culture, French culture in this case, French medieval and Catholic French medieval culture, that are worth celebrating, that are worth restoring, that are worth caring about in 2019. For a lot of people, they've been dismissed. These are things that are old. They're not necessarily relevant. I know loads of people who don't care about this stuff at all. But you will see that the people who do care about this have enormous influence on the way that the world works. And you'll see that they start coming to the fore. I mean, like, you hear the Pinot family, who are art collectors, just of the most extraordinary quality. They're people who support a lot of really good causes. And they own a gallery in Venice that I went to once. I met with, I think it was their director of the gallery in Venice that they own, because we were pitching a TV show to them.
Mm-hmm.
And that family are involved in so many things.
Mm.
You have no idea. It's just extraordinary how there are people everywhere who are willing to give away just about all they've made in their lives to restore things that are much older and much more important than they are. And they have the humility to see that. You know, if the Union buildings went up in flames, I wonder what South Africans would do. I wonder if we'd go to our pockets and say, well, I'm prepared to give whatever I've got. I'll give a tenth of what I have.
I don't know the Union buildings.
Would you?
No.
Personally,
Well, Trump pretended to care.
Maybe he cares. I mean, maybe this is something he does care about.
He tweeted, "Perhaps flying water tankers should be used to put it out. Must act quickly." And France wasn't happy with that. Their civil defense agency, without mentioning him, underscored why that would be a terrible idea. They said, "All means are being used except for water bombing aircrafts, which, if used, could lead to the collapse of the entire structure of the cathedral."
Right, well, he doesn't know. What does he know about putting out fires?
Then he mustn't say anything.
Well, he's concerned. He's a normal dude who's concerned.
Trump, this is a possible investment for you. You know, just.
But this is what this is a very guy thing, right? We try to solve problems. We don't just express our sympathies. If anybody comes to me and they say, I'm so sad this has happened, I immediately try and find a way to fix it.
Yeah.
Instead of just listening to them.
Yeah, it's true.
So that's a guy thing. It's a very male thing. So anyway.
FHM, It's a guy thing. Sorry, didn't help it.
So there's the latest on the Notre Dame fire. It's just horrible. And people are saying that the spire and the roof have been destroyed. The bell towers and stonework facade have survived. Firefighters have contained the blaze. The cause of the fire is unknown. That's the latest we've got.
Imagine you were the cause.
Hmm?
You were renovating. You left on a soldering iron or something like that.
Oh, my God.
Imagine the guilt.
Skip town, change your name.
I don't know, fall on your sword.
Oh. Yeah, meanwhile, you would not want to own that.
Meanwhile, there's quite a lot going on in America. We can maybe talk about that later on. I keep seeing these political posters. Now, I saw a Mosiwa Lakota one. I saw one Mosiwa Lakota poster the other day. And right above it was Abantu Holomisa. But otherwise, I haven't seen any from the UD. UDM and
Where
Cope.
Was I drunk?
No, I haven't seen those. As mentioned, I saw Good yesterday.
Yeah, Good.
And then one I've never seen before. It was a four-letter acronym. I can't remember it now. I was like, what? I didn't know that existed.
Yes, it was actually in PE last week. I saw tons. I saw ACDP ones. I actually did see UDM ones.
Huh.
I've seen parties I didn't know existed. There was this lime green poster that I saw with this guy who looked very corny and
so what's your neighborhood? Which post is the most prominent in your neighborhood?
In my
that tells you something about what they, where they reckon it's worth campaigning.
DA,
like,
mine.
Like you won't see a lot of ANC posters in districts and regions and municipalities and even like local areas if they don't think they can win there.
No, yeah,
They're only really going to compete in areas where they think they can win, right?
I have the top four there. In my neighborhood.
And when I went to register, there was only DA and ANC canopies.
Right.
People giving out tea and coffee and that sort of thing.
Yeah, you see, you need money for all that stuff. So I suppose that's also why they have more. But in my neighborhood, so I've got ANC, I've got DA, I've got ACDP, I've got Vryheidsfront Plus.
Oh.
Mm.
They've got a poster with
Goeie genade.
With one of the Mulders, because it's a family-owned enterprise, the Vryheidsfront Plus, right?
Yeah.
One of the Mulders, and it says, Slaan terug, which was Tony Leon's old.
Yes, thing. Fart back.
Fart back.
Mm.
Don't you remember Fart back?
Huh, I'm Tony Leon. Yeah. Fart back.
Shame. All right, he's enjoying his peace wherever he is.
So Dudley says, depressingly, in 4 billion years, the whole planet won't be around. Nothing lasts forever. Get over this, Church. Dudley, oh come on, Dudley, you douchebag. Of course he's right, but I don't want to think like that. I read in the news this morning, authorities ruled out arson or any terror attack. It's devastating to watch this exceptionally beautiful building burn. That's from Niska. And someone else says, hey guys, last night I was channel surfing. I saw the Notre Dame fire. I then researched when it was built, some history, etc. More fascinating is the fact that it was currently under renovations and they just removed all the brass statues and stuff last week. And now this week it burns down. A bit suspect to me, but anyway. Yeah, look, this is not one of those restaurant fires where you know that the dodgy owner is trying to claim from the insurance. Yes. this stuff's irreplaceable.
Well, thankfully I also saw a post about how some of the art pieces inside the church, there was supposedly like this prized crown of thorns art piece, were rescued in time and they weren't damaged. But one of the things I definitely didn't do or go down this road was late last night, someone was now bringing up a conspiracy theory between 9/11 and the church burning down. And there were comparisons. I'm like, folks, we don't need to do that right now. Let's not.
Well, let's get back to the question I asked, because Mfundo says his most popular posters in his area are EFF, ANC, and DA. Hmm? And that's in the Valley of a Thousand Hills in KZN. So, yeah, I think the main parties are obviously the ones who can afford the posters.
Mm-hmm.
But it does tell you something about your region, your area, if there are certain parties predominating and others that – if someone doesn't have a poster in your area, they don't care about your vote.
Yeah, that's exactly how it feels.
Yeah.
It's like, do you know that we even exist?
Well, they're not going to go into areas that they don't want to hotly contest. And I still say that the very small parties are sometimes worth watching. I mean, the ACDP is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
We interviewed Kenneth Meshwe not so long ago. The Purple Cow Party, that is Canton Pillay's. That's the South African Capitalist Party. Who are the other little ones? Claudio Motsweneng.
Africa Content
Remember we
Movement.
Had
ACM, that's right.
Remember we had the Kiss Party, which was keep it simple. Yeah, keep it straight and simple, something like that.
Yeah, but there's still, you know, in KZN, Minority Front.
Yes, that's right.
With the tiger. What is his name?
Yeah, the Minority Front. Oh, so I watched the Game of Thrones episode.
Okay.
Zero spoilers. I'm not going to say a damn thing about it because I'm going to give everybody a chance to watch it. I don't want to ruin anything.
Did you do a recap before you watched this new episode?
I did, actually. I watched the last episode of the previous season.
Just to remind yourself.
Yeah, well, otherwise I would have been totally lost because I couldn't remember what had happened.
Because when did that last episode come out?
Oh, it's a year ago? It's been a year.
What a long year.
What's surprising is I thought that each episode was going to be feature film length, but it was only just under an hour.
Do they ramp up the value and the production value?
Well,
did it look different? Did it look better?
No. I think they've been quite consistent. They've actually been pretty good at keeping it consistent. You can see their budget's swollen quite a lot since season one, because now they can spend it more on the special effects and the dragons and the scenery and all of that stuff. You can see they've got money to burn.
Oh.
But it's good. I'm glad I saw it, and I think it's going to be a good season. I'm excited to see what happens. Who the hell knows who's going to end up on that Iron Throne?
You weren't annoyed by anyone on social media who spoiled anything for you?
No. People were actually quite good. I mean, certainly the people I'm following.
Right.
So if you were trying to spoil it for me, then either I've blocked you and I don't see you anymore, or maybe I just didn't notice you. Maybe you just don't exist in my world. You're not important.
Fair enough. Okay.
So if you tried to be a douche, then it didn't work. I'm so proud of that. All right, a couple of messages and things, then we'll get to the five things you need to know. Talking about party posters, the EFF knows their target market. In town, the slogan is Son of the Soil. The rural area, it's land and jobs now. That's from Grant in Nelspruit. Yeah, those posters of Julius, the Son of the Soil, I'm not entirely sure I understand.
Me neither.
And to me, it just looks a tad bit too airbrushed.
It's very airbrushed.
He
looks a little girly.
He doesn't look like his normal hue. I don't know what shade of brown it is, but it's bordering. Yeah, it's just too much. It's almost like Easter egg brown.
Really?
It has just,
you should make a range of foundations and call one that. It.
And he's been posting the series of pictures on his Twitter as well. These are candid shots of him looking uncomfortable in an office setting and, posing on a bookshelf. And
like stock photos.
Too photoshopped as well. So I'm going to coin it as Easter egg brown. If you think I'm crazy, check it out.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So poor Mayor Herman Mashaba went to address the people of Alexandra at the Marlborough Community Center. They refused to allow a planned meeting between him and the community to go ahead. Some were singing songs laden with expletives on Monday evening and aimed at the mayor. Others threw bits of paper at the stage. Alexandra community members staged several demonstrations this month calling on the government to act on crime and drug problems. They've also called on leaders to address their housing issues. And then when the leaders come, like Herman Mashaba came, what do? They don't let them talk. They swear at him. They chase him away. So guess what, guys? I don't think that this mayor is going to be too keen to help you.
No, not after that. Jeez.
Mashaba failed on two occasions to receive the memorandum of demands, prompting residents to call for President Cyril Ramaphosa and Gauteng Premier David Makure to step in. Well, look, this is a big error of judgment on Herman Mashaba's part. He should have got in there immediately at the beginning. That was bad. And this is where politicians have to be streetwise. They have to be sharp enough to know that there's an occasion, there's an immediate something going on. You need to be a part of this, and you need to get in quickly. The fact that he waited and he didn't go, and then the president saw, opportunity here, and he got in. By then it was too late for Mashaba.
Yeah.
So you can't really go in late. At some point you've got to realize it's your fault for leaving it too late. And at the same time, this community are being stoked up by the ANC to behave like this because they want to make Herman look bad. And guess what? It worked.
Mm.
So the president addressed a large crowd last week in a move Mashaba called a cheap political stunt. But it's even worse that he allowed himself to be used in a second cheap political stunt yesterday. So that ended in drama. We've spoken about the Notre Dame Cathedral, which is on fire, and firefighters say that they've managed to bring it under control. A huge plume of smoke wafted across the city and ash fell over a large area. Everything was collapsing, a police officer near the scene said, as the entire roof of the cathedral continued to burn. President Emmanuel Macron cancelled an address to the nation that he had been due to give later on Monday evening. A presidential official said Macron was going to go to the scene of the blaze. So France 2 television reported police were treating the incident as an accident. It was in the midst of renovations, with some sections under scaffolding, and bronze statues were removed last week for works. So that's all we know so far, and we'll keep you updated. Cliff Pigspotter Pinto is going to be popping in later on. So this story applies to what we've been discussing with him. And as if we aren't under enough pressure, the Automobile Association has warned cash-strapped consumers, that's all of us, to expect yet another fuel price hike.
Go away.
Due to international fuel prices going up, the AA said on Monday a litre of petrol was likely to set you back 56 cents more next month, while it's predicting diesel will decrease by 5 cents. If the predictions are correct, it would be the third consecutive price hike this year.
Crazy, man.
Yeah. And 520 traffic cops are being sent to keep the Western Cape safe over Easter. That's just in the Western Cape.
Yeah.
They've been deployed across that province in a bid to reduce road deaths. It was revealed at a media briefing by Transport MEC Donald Grant on Monday afternoon.
I just wouldn't want to be on the roads at this time and avoid it completely.
Well,
but the thing is, it's tied in with school holidays and your only opportunity at this time to get away.
People really are just, they take to the roads. A lot of them are in unroadworthy cars. A lot of them drive very badly. There's drinking. It's not good. Overcrowding is a big problem. You know, these buses and these taxis are full of people.
Pedestrians.
Last year, 27 road deaths were recorded in the province, compared to 25 in 2017. Grant said concerted efforts are underway to drastically reduce road deaths in the province. The Safely Home Road Safety Campaign calendar theme for March and April is personal responsibility. Oh, people don't like that. They want someone else to take responsibility for them. And finally, a Limpopo man was arrested for multiple crimes against animals. Leanne, I know you're going to care about this.
Oh, dear, yeah.
Yeah, a guy was arrested for all of these crimes against animals. The National Council of Societies for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, that's the NSPCA, said it responded to an urgent complaint about dog fighting.
Oh, no.
Following a raid by police, the NSPCA found 22 dogs, 2 pigs, and a tortoise that were caged and chained. All the animals were taken off the property and the dogs were taken to a rehabilitation center in Johannesburg, and they're doing really well. Unfortunately, a couple of them had to be put to sleep. The suspect is due to appear in court on Wednesday. And all of us can imagine doing horrible things to this person.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I immediately thought, I'd love to be outside that courtroom.
Well, you can. So he will appear. All right. That's all we've got for this morning in terms of the 5 things you need to know.
Yes.
It's time to check in with Pigspotter. Let's find out what's happening on our latest feature and the 4th episode in a 4-episode series of Smart Driving with Pigspotter, Cliff Pigspotter Pinto. And today we'll also talk to Wijnand van Vieren. So you've got to know your rights when you're pulled over in a roadblock. You have to know what to do about fines, what to do after a crash, what to do if you're involved in a hit and run or hijacking. God forbid these things happen to you. I hope that you have peaceful, marvelous, happy, optimistic travel on the agenda. But you can't control everything. And can you really say that you're in the know around road safety? Well, we're kicking off this final episode of Smart Driving with Pigspotter in a 4-part series that will focus on road safety, driver's rights, practical information, and consumer advice just for you. And he's here. He's a big star on social media. We've all been following him for years. Don't smile. Don't laugh. You know it's true. You know we take you very seriously. Like when Pigspotter says something about the roads, about a police roadblock, about what you got to do with your car, about Arto, we all listen.
Good. I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
You've become the authority, dude.
Yeah. Now I've tried to set a standard of integrity with the brand, and I've tried to obviously maintain it over the last 8.5 years. And yeah.
Well, before we even get going, someone says here, as a new biker, I'm asking everybody to please check your brake lights and your hazards and indicators.
Yeah.
When you're at a petrol station, try and ask the attendant to assist so it becomes the norm. Because obviously for guys on bikes, they rely on you signaling to know whether they can go past you or wait behind you or try to get ahead of you or whatever else. Sure. And it's very, very dangerous for guys on bikes. They don't always know what you're up to. And if your indicators don't work, it's a major problem.
Yeah. I mean, and as we discussed on the show last week as well, people are not very observant. People are distracted, cell phone driving. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people don't actually even see these guys coming along. And crashes happen all the time.
Okay, so today in the final episode, we're going to look at some of the questions that you've been asked by people who've heard smart driving and people who perhaps want to improve their own driving experience, people who want to know more. Indeed. And they've got a couple other questions. And we've also got Wijnand van Vieren on the line, and we'll talk to Wijnand in just a second. Is he on Skype? Hey, Wijnand, how's it?
Yes, morning, Gareth.
How are you doing, man?
You?
Good, good, good. Awesome. So, Wijnand, you're also going to help us answer these questions, right?
100%.
Okay, perfect. So we've got two people here who know all the answers. Let's start with a question from Gavin McKenzie. He said, what is PigSpotter's personal opinion on the new WhatsApp reporting number by the JMPD?
Okay, I'll tell you what. I've actually got a love-hate relationship with this entire concept. The reason why I do like it is because eventually after 8.5 years of sending videos and photos to the JMPD, eventually they're doing something about it. Okay, right. So this can be seen as a positive step forward. The negative thing is that they're actually promoting people to use their phones while driving. Okay, they'll dress it up as much as they want, saying, oh, no, you must pull over to the side of the road when it's safe to do so, and then take a photo, then take a video. But we all know by that point in time, the transgression's already occurred, and there's no way you're going to get a license plate because all of these infractions happen as you're approaching a robot or as the robot turns green and people are pulling away. And then also, aside from that, you're actually not allowed to just stop on the side of the road for any unknown reason unless there's an emergency.
Yeah. So even so, it's scary stopping in the yellow lane because there are cars that ignore the emergency lane and come down at full speed.
Yeah, and then drive into the back of you.
Yeah.
And funny enough, a gentleman by the name of Grant Campbell, he's actually developing an app called iBleed. And I was actually asked to come on board to oversee the development side or to give my perception on the development side of it.
Right.
From a traffic reporting perspective. Okay. And the concept that we had, and we approached Mr. Michelson, the MMC of Public Safety, about 2 years ago, is to actually create or to have the app as a dash cam on your phone. So it would be continuously mounted on your dashboard. Mm-hmm. And whenever there was an infraction, you could push a button, which would then – you could tweet or bleat. They would call it bleat. You would actually bleat it later on. And that will obviously be a far safer way of reporting these kind of transgressions.
They obviously didn't go for that.
They didn't go for that. And then a year ago, I actually sent Michael videos of an Audi driving down the yellow lane on M1 South. Sent him videos, sent him photos because we did a little test run to see if these would be prosecutable. And his response 3 months after that was that it couldn't be prosecuted because the chain of evidence was broken from me sending it to him and him sending it to the JMPD. So obviously now they've decided to just go directly to the JMPD, which at least it's a step in the right direction, but it's still promoting people using their phones while driving.
All right. And Wijnand, feel free to jump in on this one. What is the main cause of road crashes, especially over the festive period? I presume he means Easter. This is from Oliver. So between both of you, do you know what the main cause of road crashes is? Cliff, you want to go first? Okay.
Well, yeah, look, my personal perception is impatience. A lot of people, they've had a long year. They've been planning this holiday for 6 months. And, you know, when it comes down to the final hours or the final moments when you're heading down to your holiday destination, I think a lot of people, they can already smell the sea air, already imagining themselves on the beach with their feet up, sipping on a cocktail. And then they make stupid decisions. They just want to get there now, and making bad decisions can result in bad crashes.
All right. And Wijnand, what do you guys make as the main sort of claim issue over the Easter period?
Well, you know, the accident claims are very high over this time. And if I can just add to that previous question, you know, as you said previously, coupled with being patient on the road, you know, avoid using a cell phone. You just put your own life and other people's lives in danger, and also your family. And speeding, you know, if we can keep the speed down, if you find yourself in a scenario, you know, where an accident is imminent, you know, you can always take that evasive action if you're not speeding. So, you know, keep it slow.
All right, very good. Here's another question. This is from Keegan. Where can we go to get a quick check on our vehicle's roadworthy condition before the long trip to the coast? Vaynant, do you want to tell us?
Yes, and you know, sir, I always advise our King Price clients, if your service record is up to date, the overall condition of the car will be fine. But make sure that you check the tires before you go on the road. And I always refer to, you know, check that wheel spanner, the jack and the spare wheel. You know, if you're stuck in the middle of the road there, in the middle of nowhere, you don't want to sit there with a flat spare wheel and you can't help yourself there. And make sure you have your numbers and everything ready. But there's also the AA centers where you can take your car if it's not been serviced lately. And that safety features, your safety belts, windscreen, lights, as you've referred to it now, you know, brake lights and indicators and so, make sure you check that with the tires and then you know you're ready for the road.
Awesome. I want to play a voice note here from Crypto Tryhard, who has a question about the yellow lane, and maybe you both have something to offer to him in response. Take a listen. This is Crypto. Go ahead.
Morning, guys. I've got a question for Pig Spotter. On Monday morning, I was pulled over by the cops for driving in the yellow lane just after I was pushed out of my lane by two taxis. I did not proceed to pass anybody in the yellow lane. I kept my place in the queue as such. However, about 200 meters later, I got stopped by the cops, gave me a 2,000 rand fine after trying to explain to them that, you know, these guys pushed me off the road. They just said, well, sorry, it's their discretion who to fine and who not.
What do you make of that?
Sure, that is so frustrating. It's actually happened to me, but I wasn't pulled over.
Yeah.
But where you just edged right into the wrong lane.
Yeah. Look, unfortunately, I think the transgression is still there. It applies. The guy's in the yellow lane. What he should have tried to do perhaps is to slow down, give the taxis a gap to get in. The biggest issue is, I mean, I understand the frustration. You don't want to let these guys in. You don't want to enable them to do what they want to do. Mm-hmm. But the point is that they are transporting 11 or 16 odd people, sometimes 45 people as we've seen, from one point to the next. And the thing is, ideally, they should actually be given priority. As much as we don't like to allow them to push in and so on, but they are providing a service. And the biggest issue, I think, is that the infrastructure does not cater for them. So, I mean, I see it from their perspective, the point that they need to get from A to B. They are transporting the workforce. But in his situation, unfortunately,
yep.
he was just unlucky to be caught at that specific moment in time. By
sorry,
cops.
Dude. Bad luck. Yeah. I mean, that's a horrible thing to have to do, but there we go. All right. So, Cliff, you wanted to ask something of Vaynant, which I think a lot of us have thought about, because if you're traveling a long distance, you go through all these one horse towns.
Absolutely. And, I think Vaynant, one of the biggest issues is if you break down and you're literally in the middle of nowhere, you know, does
my
an
worst
insurance
fear,
company,
yeah, shitty little town,
or not even in a town, if you like literally like little grassroots between towns, you know, like, is there a policy that insurance companies have that I can phone, for example, King Price and say, listen, guys, I'm having an issue. I'm stuck here. I have no idea where I am. I can send you my GPS location. And would you guys be able to send a vehicle out to come collect me? Do you offer like a rental vehicle and like accommodation if need be?
Good question, Cliff. You know, there are really good insurers out there. I don't only want a pumpkin price, you know, that will offer this and who really cares. But before you go on the road, make sure that you, if you have this in your policy included, it can, you know, if an accident or an incident, a breakdown of that happens there in the middle of nowhere, you know, it can happen there in the Karoo on your way down to Cape Town. What is going to happen? You either have it in place and your holiday can just continue, or you have to come back home. At King Price, we include a roadside assistance, as I said before, with a number. You just phone the number for anything. It doesn't only have to be an accident. Flat battery, so you see you there on the side without petrol or anything like that. We sent the nearest assistance coming through to make sure that in the first place you are safe, because it isn't safe. And I said it before, just don't stop at a overbridge or something like that and think that you are safe. Be very careful. So phone quickly for assistance. And then make sure your car hire is in place. You know, I always say if you go on holiday, make sure that your car hire that you got from your insurer is the same vehicle that you need to just continue your holiday from there. We send the car hire through to you.
Awesome.
Take control of your car that's been in an accident. Take that, you know, back home or where it can be repaired. Well, you can just pack everything over into your car hire and your holiday can continue. And if that's not the way that you want to do it, we also include free accommodation for our clients where we check you in far from your house, make sure that you're safe for that evening and bring you back home the next day. So it is out there. Go through your policy wording and make sure that you've got cover for it.
Awesome.
All right. Richard wants to know, is it legal to drive in South Africa with a foreign driver's license if you don't have an international driving license? Because you need an international driving license to have one of those and to make it valid, right? So what's the story, Wynand?
Yes, Gareth, it actually is. So you can, all you need to make sure of is when that was issued, it's not valid if you were already then a permanent resident of South Africa. And then it must also be in English. And if it's not in English, there must be a translation with it that at least makes sense, you know, that one can confirm that it's yours. And also with a photograph and a photograph of the holder and signed. But what you must just be careful, it's not, you know, it will not stay like that. If you become a resident of South Africa, you need to also apply then for a SA driver's license within 5 years. But it will be valid here if you have a foreign driver's license.
All right, I've got another question. This one's for Cliff from Katlego Kasi. Says, are all the fines and rules of the road the same across South Africa?
Okay, look, the short answer is no, they're not all the same.
What? Really?
No, they're not all the same. So what happens is different districts and different municipalities follow different rules.
Wow.
Joburg, for example, Joburg and Pretoria, they follow the Schedule 3 of the Auto Act, okay, by law, where it standardizes the fines to be charged for specific infringements. Other places like Cape Town, and follow the Criminal Procedure Act. And there's pros and cons to both of these. The pros would be of following the Criminal Procedure Act is that if, for example, you are a pensioner and you get pulled over for talking on your cell phone. Okay. In Cape Town, if you are pulled over for talking on your cell phone, it's R1,000 fine.
Mm.
And they confiscate your phone and then they'll charge you R1,140 to release your phone back to you. Okay. So you're paying R2,140.
Mm-hmm.
In Joburg, it's a flat R500 top to bottom, right?
Sure.
Obviously in Joburg, because it's the Auto Act, you get a 50% discount if you pay within 30 days and that's flat across the board. So if you are a pensioner and you're trying to make it through the month on R1,500 grant, regardless of your circumstances, you have to pay minimum R250. Whereas in Cape Town, because of the Criminal Procedure Act, based on your circumstances, they can actually drop that fine considerably to even a point of scrapping the fine altogether.
Hmm.
So you just got to go to the public prosecutor and plead poverty, you know. And the differences include, like, for example, in Cape Town, if you run through a Red Robot, you're getting charged R3,000 in Cape Town. In Joburg, it's R500. And also skipping stop streets in Joburg, you'll get charged R500.
Mm-hmm.
In Cape Town, R1,500. So it's also noteworthy to know that if Mr. President Cyril Ramaphosa signs the Auto Act into law, because we know it was passed in Parliament,
yes,
right, from the first show.
Sure.
If it gets passed into law, then yes, all fines will be under Schedule 3 Auto Act and it will be standardized in throughout the country. But as it stands at the moment, it's not.
I didn't know that was the case. That's very interesting.
Yeah.
All right. You've got another question for King Price specifically.
Yeah. Okay. So, Wynand, I had a very interesting guy on Twitter named Private Capture.
Yeah.
Okay. His name is Axel. And one of his biggest gripes, I don't know if you were following it, was that with regards to the Teleshare Group, okay, which is obviously a group of insurance companies, that they are loading two claims on an IDS platform, okay, which was originally a third-party claim. So say, for example, someone bumped me from behind, I then phone my insurance company, I say, hey, listen, I was tapped from behind, this is what happened, this is the particulars of the other driver. And then this insurance company obviously they would load two claims and they would call it an average accident loss. Now, the issue came in with, from what he was telling us, about, because these two claims come in, one comes as being stated as being repudiated, which is a negative thing. I mean, if you have any claim that says repudiated, it kind of means that you've either lied or the insurance company has refused to cover you for something. And the second one was registered, but it was registered for a much lower amount than what was actually paid out to the guy. And what these two claims do against this person's name, it obviously increases their risk portfolio profile under the claims enabler report, which obviously most insurance companies use that claim enablers report to calculate premiums and so forth. And obviously what this entire system does is that if, for example, I go to an insurance company and say, listen, I need insurance, they'll go look at this claim enablers report and say, right, hold on, you've had, you know, you've had a claim repudiated, you've had this and this and that on your name.
Third party claim,
yeah, exactly. No. So I'm going to now charge you 1,600, every month for insurance on this vehicle. When, if you approach one of the Telesure guys, their insurance companies are not using this claim enabler report, so they'll be able to offer you much lower premiums and therefore get the deal.
Yeah.
So my question to you is,
I'm going to pretend I understood all of that. Maybe someone else does. Okay, fine.
You're going to have to listen to this like four or five times because it took me a while. So my question to you, King Price, is do you guys also use the claims enabler report, to calculate your premiums? And if you do, what steps have been taken to validate what's on those reports, whether it's factual or not?
Yeah, just to quickly sum it up, what you said is that, so there's one incident taking place. Now there's an accident claim on your car, but the insurer will also give you third-party cover, Gareth, and then to split those in two claims. I mean, it was one incident. It's really not very clever underwriting for me. So if I want to determine you as a risk and rate you accordingly, we want to know, are you a good driver? And a good indication of that is how many incidents have you had, over a period. So if you then ask that question, you want to split that into two and then inflate the premium that's going to be paid by the person, that is really not very clever. Therefore, we don't make use of this no claims in either report. We will ask the client, how many have you had incidents in the last 3 years or accidents in the last 3 years or so? And note that on the policy. And what we also do at King Price is we go and look at, if you had an incident with us and you were not the guilty party. If you were, if you stopped at the mall and someone reversed into you, why should that count as, on your record as an incident that's just going to increase your premium? I mean, that doesn't make sense. We don't take that into account. We make sure that we keep that premium as low as possible and make sure that, your vehicle premium even decreases according to the depreciation on the car monthly.
Thank you very much for that. Guys, there are obviously lots more questions and there are lots of other things that people want to address, but we don't have time for all of them. You can follow at PigSpotter on Twitter. He's on all social media. You can find all of his updates, and I would suggest you do that, especially if you're one of those people who wants to get the latest information. Thank you very much to Vaynant from King Price for helping us out this morning. Vaynant, always nice to talk to you. Thanks for your very helpful tips. And Cliff, we'll talk to you again soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you very much.
So there it is, episode 4 of Smart Driving, and by no means does that mean we're going to stop talking to you about these things. But please drive carefully over the Easter period. Next weekend is going to be crazy on the roads. Okay. And as Cliff always says, make sure that you've checked your tires, make sure that you've got everything organized, make sure that you've had your car recently serviced. Wheel alignment's important.
Absolutely. Look, I mean, I've got 10 tips for safe driving on long journeys if you want to hear them.
Let's do it. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So number one, obviously sleep, rest. I mean, that's pretty obvious. They actually recommend 7 hours for 3 nights consecutively of sleep to build up your energy reserves.
Right.
And try not to drive between 1 and 3 a.m., which is when your body's naturally tired.
Mm-hmm.
Number two would be snacks, podcasts. Certain snacks actually aid in keeping you alert. So like peanuts and carrots, apparently. I've never tried carrots myself. Apparently that's pretty good.
Okay, good.
Another one, fluids. So stay hydrated. And obviously the downside to this means you're going to stop more often for pee breaks and so forth.
And I suppose also you should try not to eat too much because that makes you tired.
Yes.
But also remember that turkey is not a good idea. Turkey sandwiches or turkey cold meat.
Okay.
They make you sleepy.
There's an enzyme in turkey which makes you sleepy. Yeah.
Well, there we go. Okay. So I'll add that one into the next time.
Ready?
And another one, obviously we stop occasionally. So I suppose that goes hand in hand with the whole toilet break thing. So, you know, stop every 2 or 3 hours, get out, stretch, go to the bathroom.
Yeah. Especially if you're feeling tired, run around the car a little bit.
Absolutely. Go run a little marathon. Another one would be chewing gum. Apparently, the repetitive process of chewing gum increases circulation and alertness. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, something different, because I mean, all of these you've heard before, but something different is using good scents. Now, I'm not talking about common scents, but instead about smells. So, apparently, keeping a source of peppermint nearby actually increases your alertness and increases
some smelling salts.
It's a natural pick me up, you know, which apparently improves alertness.
Right.
Another one, obviously sit up straight, stretch your back every now and then, maybe shift your bum from side to side to ensure.
Yeah, your bum goes numb after a long drive.
Well, depending on the cars you drive.
Right, exactly.
Another one would be obviously fresh air. So every now and then, open up the windows, get some fresh air into the cabin because the last thing you want to do is sit and breathe in the same carbon monoxide.
And also because people fart.
Yeah, it's mainly the farts that I was concerned about.
The methane gas, okay. Another one, I suppose, keep the passengers entertained. Yes. So they're not bickering, so they're not fighting, and they're not creating a disturbance for you.
Right.
So charge up those iPads, those phones, and you can play car games. Suppose if you're one of those who are against technology, like I Spy, or how many green cars you see versus white cars. And last but not least, this one actually surprised me, was treat yourself to some sounds. So not just your favorite music, because in actual fact, that serves as a bit of a distraction. So if you sit and listening to your favorite tunes, you're like very, you know, into it and you're enjoying the music. But the problem is that you could lose concentration.
Okay.
So they actually recommend rather listening to podcasts, like one of these.
There we go.
There we go, right? Audiobooks and even comedy CDs. So obviously laughing at very comedy good. CDs raises your, keeps you awake, raises your senses.
That's good.
Right?
That is good. Podcasts. An endorsement for podcasts. I just want to read this quickly because it's quite interesting.
Sure.
Yesterday, an employee had come to our office for training and was running late. She went 140 in an 80 zone and got pulled over.
Oopsie.
Yep. Arrestable.
The officer showed her the speed on his machine, asked for a license, asked why there is no display on the vehicle of the license disc. She then proceeded to offer a bribe, and he wrote that onto the charge sheet too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She appeared in court and has to reappear later this week. My point is, don't offer bribes. Take the ticket.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, look, let's put it this way. In actual fact, she should have been arrested. Anything 40 kilometers over the speed limit is an arrestable offense.
Mm-hmm.
Straight up. So she shouldn't even have gotten a fine. She should have straight to jail. Do not pass go.
Wow. Always lots to keep up to date with. Thank you so much, Cliff.
That's
Pig Spotter on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook. You can find him everywhere. Cliff Pinto, thank you so much, dude.
Thank you very much. I appreciate
good to speak
it.
To you. And that is brought to you by King Price Insurance. Please make sure that everything is up to date and up to scratch on your car and drive very carefully over the Easter holidays, which everybody's getting ready for. All right. All of that is available on podcasts. You can listen to all the other episodes too. If you want to, all you have to do is go along and find it all on cliffcentral.com. There's plenty of good stuff there. And if you like this series, we may just be bringing you some more shortly.
This is cliffcentral.com.